Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went out and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the words and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so we have two parables today. And the first one, which I emphasize, I changed to the canticle. You may notice we didn't do the psalm. We did the canticle. If you do morning prayer, you know that one. You hear it all the time. Seek the Lord while he wills to be found. Turn to him when he draws near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the evil ones their thoughts, and let them turn to the Lord, and he will pardon. For he's rich in mercy. And I'm not going to... But the point of that introduction is God's judgment. So here's God's judgment. I'm not going to let the world be a mess forever. Yay. Right? Yay. Everyone complains about the world, but they just don't want God messing with their stuff. So God says the day's coming when I'm going to put an end to it. I'm going to divide it into two clumps. The ones on my side and the ones not on my side. The ones on my side are the ones that will obey me, and if we obey him, we're going to do all the stuff we need to do to have abundant life. If you'd rather do it your way, you're going to get to move to basically unchained melody of human song, and you're going to live in what's going to end up feeling like hell because everyone's going to be doing their thing, and you know already how that looks, right? Except there's no good people left. It's just going to get worse. Or as we say as kids, worser and worser. And that's what judgment is. Judgment is God saying, okay, fine, we're going to move you out there and we're just going to let you live and do that thing. But then what he says is, his word, here's a parable. A parable is a comparison. Parallel, ever hear the word parallel? Para, and ever hear of a ball? So we're going to throw two things side by side. That's what a simile is, or a metaphor. A parabole is we're going to throw two things side by side so that one can illustrate the other. And what Isaiah says is the parable is rain or precipitation. So, and remember, they live in a desert. So there, see, our stuff is used to getting watered regularly. If we have like water in the air, right? It's just sitting there. You can't breathe because there's... Well, they live in a very dry climate with very limited growth. And when it rains, it has the vegetation there reacts to rain immediately. And flowers, I mean, it just... Everything... So he says, when you see rainfall and then you see all this life, that's how my word is. So this parable, here's the point of the parable. God says, my word, which is his self, it's his revelation. So when you give someone your word, you give them yourself. You know, in a real conversation, you feel closer to the person, right? Because what they're doing, their words are conveying themselves. I'm sharing my, I'm opening to you. We use all that kind of terminology. So God says, I'm going to share with you. Here's where it goes. I promise you, I have so much power. I am going to accomplish what I intend. It's not ever going to fail. It's not going to fail. It's going to return to me and do what I sent it out to do. And Jesus read Isaiah and he believed Isaiah, so he told us this parable today. Because what's his parable? A guy's out farming. So ancient farms are a little different from ours. We live in a different kind of world. Like our farms are, when you drive by, it's like miles, right? And there's a dude in, well, not the tractors aren't tractors anymore. They're like apartments that, you know, and they're like have TVs and, I mean, it's amazing. But yeah, they're on these machines that just go for miles, just digging stuff up, and then they plant, and then they close it back up. That's not how they did it in those days. In Jesus' days, they planted the same way when you ask someone to come put grass seed on your... Have you ever asked someone to come to your yard? You pay them to put grass seed on your yard? It's on the windowsill. It's on the ceiling of your house. It's like on the car. It's just everywhere, right? Because they don't care. They're making $8 an hour for doing this, so they're not being meticulous. It don't cost them nothing. Well, that's how they farm. They would walk in the same place and throw. And so when some of the seeds went in on the path, which was walked on and real hard, when you walk on stuff over and over, like our backyard, the place where you walk, all the grass dies and it gets hard, right? And we had to dig it up. And Jesus said, see that guy? He's out, there's that path he's thrown, and we see a lot of seed ends up in places where it's just not going to thrive, and then some of it falls in places where there's all that weed. And he said, a lot of the seed, it's wasted. Nothing's going to happen. He says, but I'm telling you, the seed that lands in the right place, it produces abundantly. And he says, that's how people are. So this is Jesus' Enneagram. There's only four of them, right? There's people who are so dense, they don't get anything. All right, that's all your atheist friends who look at you and think you're stupid. You believe in God? Well, what about this? And you're like, oh my gosh, well, you got me there. Okay, there probably is no God. And that answers every question. They're just dense, beaten down by the world. Nothing can penetrate. Like Jesus walks into your life and you say, my mom was dead on the floor. We prayed. She jumped up and made us dinner. And they go, well, that happens. You know, it's like, why didn't God do that for someone else? Oh, okay. Well, that's a good point, I guess. Let's not be aware that God's here. That's the beaten path. What's the second? Shallow people. Do you know any shallow people? Their whole life is just lived right there. There's a great Woody Allen movie where he's interviewing a couple on the street. She's real pretty. He's real cute. And he says, are you happy? And they said, we're very happy. Because he's looking for happy people. He said, what's the secret to your happiness? And he said, we're just really shallow. So I don't remember that movie, but I remember that scene. So shallow people, they just don't, like, nothing really affects them, right? Oh, did you hear about the train wreck? 50,000 people died in some city. It's like, oh, well, what did you want, the ice cream today or the sherbet? Like nothing. So shallow people exist. And when shallow people encountered the word, they may love Jesus. I have friends who witness at lunch. They say, I brought someone to Christ at lunch. I said, wow, seven minutes, really? How many minutes do you think it's going to take someone to take them away from Christ? Like if they're saying, what do you want to eat? And you said, you know, Jesus died for your sin. I'm a believer. What do you want for lunch? I'm thinking maybe that's going to be a shallow kind of thing. My experience is it's kind of a battle, a struggle. Then you have people choked by the world. None of us know what this is about at all because we don't care about money, right? We live very simple lives here in Collierville. We never worry about cars and clothes and vacations and all that, right? We're never choked about worries and concern. So those three things are going on. Now here's where I'm going to take Jesus and make a twist on him. We're all of those. There's not four kinds of people. There's one kind of person. It's how much path, how much shallow, and how much weed is in me that's going to determine how much production there is. And here's where the parable, people are like a field, ends up being not helpful. There's not four kinds of people, and we're not simply a mixture of all four. We're people. Do an experiment. Go to your yard today when you go home and say, we need everybody to kind of change how they've been growing. We need you to change. Your yard's going to say to you, if you understood yard, it's going to say, we're dirt, we don't make a choice. We're clay, we don't make a choice. I'm going to be clay the rest of my life. And I'm always going to be clay. Human beings don't have to be clay. We can turn into good dirt. We can make the choice. We can choose to beat the bath and take an axe to it and chop it up, or a pickaxe. And we can chop it up. We can pull out the stones and throw them away. I've done that in gardens. I've dug and threw stuff away. We can put stuff into the soil. We can make the choices. We can choose to make our hearts open to receive God's word. We can choose to stop being mediocre. We can choose to get healed. We can choose to get transformed. We can choose to make our lives so light-filled that the word of God does all the stuff that God says it's going to do. We can make that choice. That's the good news. The good news of the parable is we don't have to be the beaten path. We don't have to. We can have all this abundance in all this life. And we know that what Jesus is saying is true. How many apostles were there? The easiest question I could possibly ask. I'm not tricking. How many apostles were there? 12. All right. He says 100-fold. What's 100 times 12? Kids, you're the only ones in here can do math. What's 12 times 100? Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's 1,200. 12 times 100 is 1,200. Really tricky. Math is tricky. So 1,200 is 1,200, right? So that means the apostles should see the church grow to 1,200. Oops. 2.4 billion. Is that pretty good growth? 2.4 billion from 12? That's 500 million apiece. Jesus said there'd be amazing growth. Now, this, and some of you have been in church all summer, so you know this, but those who haven't, we've been reading from Jeremiah. So I'm bringing up reading we didn't have. Jeremiah is a prophet whose job was to tell Judah and Jerusalem, turn around. If you don't turn around, you will be destroyed and lose everything. So what's his job? To get them to turn around. How successful was he? Not very successful. In the end, Jerusalem was destroyed, and he went into exile. As an old man, if someone said to Jeremiah, how are you feeling about your career there, Jer? He would say, they call him the weeping prophet, so that gives you an idea. He would say, I failed. I absolutely failed. 2.4 billion Christians. If they read the Bible as much as my parish does, that means there's at least 50 million of them are reading the Bible. So even if a small number of the world is reading the Bible, that's 50 million people who know Jeremiah well, who've been transformed by his word. For 2,800 years, we have gathered and listened to Jeremiah's word, and it has changed the world. And Jeremiah had no idea. So let me tell you about the soil of discouragement. You may be saying, well, you know, I've tried to do the Jesus, I've tried to be, you know, religious stuff. I just didn't see much success. All right, this weekend, I became Father Jeff 39 years ago. 39 years ago yesterday, for the first time, I stood up and said Mass and preached. Most of 39 years, I would say generally I look out and say, oh, this ain't working. I got a few years ago a letter from a man who was in my first church. So this is 1984 and 85, who had an entire life of rich ministry in the Presbyterian church. And he says, as I'm closing down my life, I want to tell you thank you. God's word is like the rain. It falls into the soil. We don't do it. He does. And he makes it happen. The same week I got a card from a girl who said, when I was in sixth grade, you're the only priest who ever made me feel like you cared. And now she works with street people and Alcoholics Anonymous. She's a nonprofit leader. In my 39 years, that's happened once that week, two in 1 week. And here's the message I got from God. You're never going to know what you're accomplishing, so don't worry about it. Be faithful. And the word's going to, you follow the word, you accept the word, you receive the word, and I'm going to take care of the other stuff. It's none of your business. He said, for the most part, it wouldn't be helpful for you because you would start thinking it was you. Right? You'd be, oh, look what I did. I didn't do anything. I read most of my sermons, I steal straight from the Bible, and I read other people's stuff, and I share what they say. And I believe it. I believe it, and that's the only thing I add to this whole thing. Same is true of you. So if we as a church decide we're going to trust God's word, then we need to make the soil better. And I'm going to give you the secret. I've never mentioned this before in church. It's the first time I've ever told you this. Every day read the Bible. I know you've never heard this before. Every day pray at the beginning of your day and during your day. Every day. And pray enough till you find yourself saying, wow, this is taking a long time. Every day, find someone who needs something and help them. The poor and the needy come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. There's all sorts of, they can be little kids needing to read. It could be people who are alone and lonely. It could be your standard issue, poor people that we talk about. It could be someone who's having trouble. It could even be someone who's like overwhelmed with their kids and you go to help them with their kids. There's all sorts of ways that the love of God can be manifest in you. You do those three things on a regular basis, your ground's going to get real good. And then the word of God's going to come in you and do amazing things. I promise. And some of you can stand up and tell me, because it's already happening. You'll be healed and other people will be healed through you. And I have 39 years of experience saying, it is so true. It is so true. You'll end up saying things that you don't even know where they come from. And someone will say, I can't believe you just said that. This morning, we were talking about that. I can't believe you said that. And that's God. Because God said, my word will go forth from my mouth like rain, and it's going to find the soil that needs. And you can choose to be that soil or not. He says, I'm going to find the soil. And if we don't want to do it, he'll find someone who does. So let's do it, okay? So what do you have to do? Pray, read the Bible, and love and serve other people. That's foundational. And if you do those three things, I promise you it'll happen. Amen.